Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are going to be discussing Lessons from Samson. This podcast is going to help us see the danger of sin, the results of doing things our way, and the faithfulness of God. It is a very revealing and intriguing story of the only real Superman that ever lived. In Judges 13:1, we are told that Israel again did what was evil, and the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. The story begins in Judges 14:1 with Samson, who was a judge in Israel and was to be a deliverer, and whose parents were told by God that he would be a Nazirite. Now, a Nazirite is a person who is separated for God's use, and as a sign of their vow to God, will never cut their hair, never drink, and never touch any dead body or animal. So, to go on with the story.
Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, "I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife." Then his father and mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel.
You know, that's an interesting verse where it states, "But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord." You know, Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 4 states that an Israelite was not to marry from any of the seven nations mentioned in that verse. Now, some commentaries say that the Philistines were a part of those seven nations, and yet others say they were not. But either way, God also told his people not to marry a pagan, which they were a pagan nation. They were referred to by the Israelites as uncircumcised, and that's in Judges 15:18, 1 Samuel 14:6, and 2 Samuel 1:20. You know, they worshiped three false gods. You know, and even us in the New Testament, we are told not to be unequally yoked in 2 Corinthians 6:14. So they were not to marry of a pagan nation.
So true. You know, there's a great lesson, as you said, for us today.
Right. Now, we don't know clearly if the marriage was in God's perfect will, or since Samson was so insistent, God permitted this occasion against the Philistines. However, the scripture does say it was of the Lord. Still, most commentaries point out that Samson didn't honor his parents' objection to the marriage and didn't seem to even consider the fact that God's word instructed the Israelites to remain separate from those who believed in false gods. In addition, Samson only saw this woman and desired her. He was led by his flesh and perhaps not of God, since she was a pagan. Now, Samson said that the woman pleases me. Some again point out that he should have sought to please God and his parents rather than his fleshly lusts. And one last point, he told his parents twice to get her for me. Just that statement tone is derogatory. It was considered very inappropriate for a young son to be demanding of the father. It was disrespectful and self-absorbed. Now, if it was God's will, as the verse states, then it was an exception by God. This was because God sought an inroad into destroying the Philistines so that their reigning over the Israelites would end.
Okay, and to go on with the story, Samson and his parents then went on their way to the city of Timnah. While they were on their way to the city, the scripture says, "Now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well.
Now, another point about that, it was also forbidden for Samson to talk to her until after his parents talked to her parents and arranged for their marriage.
To continue, after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion.
Now, he most likely didn't tell them because he had touched a dead animal, which was forbidden of an Israelite and especially of a Nazirite. And that's in Leviticus 5:2, Numbers 6:1-9, and Judges 13:5.
And his father went down to get her, and Samson gave a feast there, for young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him.
Now the feast should have been at Samson's father's house with Samson's friends and not at the bride's father's house. The companions were brought by the Philistines and not friends of the bridegroom, but they were actually the enemy to keep a watch on Samson. Samson was in the enemy's territory.
Then Samson said to them, "Let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing."
Now, riddles were often given and other witty remarks at the feast to show off a person's wisdom. It was actually a prideful thing.
And they said to him, "Pose your riddle that we may hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." At the end of the 7 days, they were unable to discern the riddle. The Philistine said to Samson's wife in verse 15, "Entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire." And it happened on the 7th day that Samson told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she told the riddle to the sons of her people. "What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle."
Now, I will explain the heifer comment in a minute, but first, she should have been honest and told Samson that they threatened her instead of going along with them and revealing his secret to them. She showed her loyalty to her people rather than to her husband. Now, a heifer was a small cow. Samson didn't like them badgering his wife for the answer and used the analogy of someone plowing the ground with a cow. Now, you know, as for today's culture, it is probably not a good choice to use the word cow as a comparison to one's wife. You know, that was not exactly a flattering word about his new wife. You know, I don't think that would go over too well with my wife. You know, I think the garage would be my bed for quite some time.
That's exactly right. You know? Okay, to get back to the story, Samson went and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle.
You know, now that at first would appear to be the wrong thing to do, to go and kill 30 men for their clothing. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 32:35, it says, "To me belongs vengeance." That's God speaking. However, God may have again made an exception since the scripture states that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he went. The Spirit came on him before he decided to go. If God didn't approve of this, his Spirit would not have come on him. Also, Samson was a judge and represented the nation of Israel, so this would be considered by God to be more than just a personal vendetta. I can also see why Samson would have wanted to show them not to mess with him, since he was a servant of the living God. They ruled over the Israelites, mocked God, and afflicted God's people. So which of us wouldn't do the same if we had the strength of Samson to do it?
And now Samson didn't know that at the time he was gone, they gave his wife to the best man to marry. He returned bringing a gift for his new wife to show he was not upset with her. He came to her father and said, "Let me go in to my wife into her room."
Now you see, the marriage had not been consummated yet, since it was customary for the bridegroom to leave and return at a later date after he had prepared a place for her to live. This was similar to, in our day, getting engaged and then setting a date later for the actual wedding. However, they considered the engagement as if they were now married. It simply was not consummated yet.
But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, "I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead."
Now, this was forbidden for an Israelite to take a sister after he was betrothed, and it was also an insult. And this is in Leviticus 18:18. This answer from his wife's father was an excuse because he feared the Philistines, and they didn't want the marriage either.
And Samson was furious. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and put them on their tails and let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the grain and the groves in their fields. Then the Philistines said, "Who has done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire.
Boy, it's interesting that Samson's wife was threatened by the Philistines to entice Samson to tell her the riddle, or they would burn her and her father's house. She revealed the riddle to them and betrayed her husband, and then was burned along with her father anyway. This was a direct reaping of her sin.
So Samson attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And hip and thigh was an expression indicating a vicious attack. Now the Philistines went up to arrest Samson to do to him as he had done to us. They came to the Israelites as a threat that they would fight against them if they didn't deliver Samson. The Israelites said they would go find Samson. They found him and said, "Don't you know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?" They said they wanted to deliver him to them.
Now Samson agreed to do this in order to be sure the Philistines wouldn't go against God's people, but the fight should be only with him. Samson's intentions here were of a servant of God. His heart was to protect the Israelites. So this reflects the godly, spiritual nature that was in Samson.
And they bound him with two new ropes. So when they captured him and took him away, he broke the ropes and he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it.
Boy, that must have been amazing to see. You know, well, first of all, the men of Judah should not have given him into the hands of the Philistines, but should have fought with Samson against the Philistines. They were in bondage and under the control of the Philistines, and this was their opportunity for deliverance. God had given them Samson, and they knew he was anointed, but they had settled for the domination of the Philistines. They had accepted their defeat and didn't want to fight for freedom. They were compromised in their obedience to God. You know, Samson always acted independent of the Israelites, which were his own people, because he knew they would not unite behind him and fight these wicked people. So he just went alone to kill these people by himself. You know, Samson had picked up a jawbone, which was forbidden to touch a dead animal, as Leviticus 5:2 states. But it may be that God made an exception again, since God anointed him to defeat them. Also, a jawbone was certainly an insignificant weapon and would not be accredited to his victory. Only God's anointing could have brought the victory. You know, it must have been something to see one man fight and kill 1,000 armed military soldiers. It's quite a miracle. Now, he was now thirsty, and he asked God for water, and God had it flow from out of the skull he used. Now, this was also to show the Israelites that God was with Samson and would deliver them. Yet this still didn't move them to unite with Samson.
And next in Judges 16:1, Samson went to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her.
You know, first of all, he had no business being in the Philistine stronghold and, of course, no business looking for a harlot. This was a blatant sin for an Israelite and especially a Nazirite.
The Philistines knew he was there and thought they would trap him by closing the gates to the city. Samson rose up at midnight and ripped the gates and posts out of the foundation and carried them on his back for 40 miles up a hill and left them there.
Now, historians say that the gates were massive, at least 20 feet tall, wide, and weighed a minimum of 1,000 pounds.
Next, he saw another Philistine woman he desired, and her name was Delilah. The Philistines went to her, offered her a great sum of money, and told her to entice him into revealing the source of his strength. She begged him three times at first, and he toyed with her three times, telling her lies, as described in Judges 16:6. Judges 16:16 says, "She pressed him daily." This shows us he was seeing her every day, and she was not his wife. The Bible instructs us to flee from sin, yet he became comfortable with it. After she was able to get him to sleep on her lap, each time she would wake him and tell him that the Philistines had come to take him. The men would be waiting as planned. He would jump up and be ready so they couldn't take him. But then the fourth time she did this, he told her his secret. She was able to get him to go to sleep again, and then she had someone cut off his hair.
Now, with his hair gone, the Lord had departed from him. The strength wasn't actually in his hair, but was a sign of keeping his vow. The Philistines came in upon him as planned, but this time his strength was gone.
And Solomon seems to have had Samson in mind when he said in Proverbs 7:26, "She has cast down many wounded. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her." This is speaking of the whorish woman.
Right. Now, his mistake was for the third time seeing a Philistine woman. In addition, he should have learned by his experience with the first woman who enticed him in the very same way. This reveals to us how sin deceives.
And Obadiah 1:3 states, "You have been deceived by your own pride." And again in Hebrews 3:13, it says, "Warn each other so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." They took him and dug his eyes out and brought him to Gaza to chain him to a grinder to grind grain. They bragged on their god Dagon and said that Dagon delivered him, and the people praised their god. How terrible when one's sins bring them down, but their ruin and the enemy's success is attributed to a false god.
Right.
You know, during their religious feast days, they brought him out to make fun of him. There were 3,000 people present, along with many of the leaders. When they brought him out, he asked a young lad to lead him to the pillars that held up the temple. The 3,000 were on the roof of this temple, as was the custom.
Right. Now, Samson prayed and asked God for his strength one more time to avenge his eyes being put out. He pushed on the two big pillars and brought the house down and killed all 3,000, including himself. Now, God in his mercy gave him his strength back, which shows God's great forgiveness. The Philistines attributed their success in capturing Samson to their god Dagon, and in the very temple of Dagon, God destroyed them all and their temple. God has the last say.
And Samson is mentioned in the Hall of Fame chapter of Hebrews 11 as a man of faith. So he had his godly side and heart, but let his flesh dominate his life. He never fully accomplished what God had for him in freeing his people from oppression from the Philistines, but it had begun. You know, it is interesting that twice the Bible records that he saw a Philistine woman. The third time, it said he loved a Philistine. He most likely fell in lust with her, which is brought about by the eye. The eyes got him in trouble, and it was his eyes he lost. God says in Galatians 6:7, Be not deceived. What a man sows, he will reap.
Boy, that's so severe. You know, it is also revealing that in seeing the harlot in the cities of the Philistines, Gaza, he was then brought back when captured to the same enemy stronghold. There he spent the remainder of his days in their prison and died there. Now, that was another reaping. You know, his sin brought him to his death, as Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. This was so sad for a man that could have accomplished so much more for God and God's people Israel.
And Romans 6:6-15 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Now, we are under grace, which means we have the ability to say no to sin. It is God's strength through his grace.
That's right. You know, Samson did a lot of things wrong. You know, but however, he did give his life in the end to fulfill God's purpose. He did protect the Israelites when he let them deliver him to the Philistines so that they wouldn't kill off the Israelites. You know, so we should be careful not to criticize him, but to reflect on our own shortcomings.
And the story of Samson is all about God's faithfulness and man's weakness. Samson's life is a warning against the dangers of a sinful, disobedient lifestyle. If we allow the small sins in our life, it will progress to greater sin. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Sin is deceptive, and it gradually led to Samson's demise. Sin may be pleasurable for the moment, but the end results are blinding and binding.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.